Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express. Looking for a cover. This is
awesome. Good evening one more time. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. This is On the Double with the Double S Express, show number 12. So much going on. The sports world definitely picking up. The NFL training camps have begun all over the country. Every team believing they have a shot at the Lombardi Trophy, Sean Boyd.
Yes, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And this is, Mr. Wally, an exciting time. The best part of the year for me, and of course, training camp is upon us. And like you were just saying, I mean, it is everybody's feel that their team has a shot. And of course, you know, for me being an Oakland Raider fan, and I don't take that away at all. It's a great time to think about what can be or what could be. Of course, in training camp over there, things just starting. New quarterback Matt Flynn coming in from Seattle, your neck of the woods, Mr. Wally. And, you know, hopefully he is a great gem that you've given to us. Of course, you guys have Russell Wilson, RW3, you know, and so, you know, I'm looking for Matt Flynn to do some great things, man.
So what is word coming out of Napa down in Raider country where they are in training camp? How are things going, and how is Dennis Allen's team looking?
Well, the biggest thing right now that they're talking about is they're talking about discipline. And they're, you know, the restructure of the team. And, you know, I've mentioned this before as far as don't expect anything great from the Oakland Raiders. If you can see any types of improvement as far as structure, that's going to be a bonus. Right now, the Raiders look a little more sound, a little more sharp. Matt Flynn's doing what he needs to do. It sounds like his accuracy has gotten a lot better from the OTAs. The biggest question mark right now are the receivers. And, you know, it sounds like the receivers are having a little bit of the dropsies. You know, you can say that that's something that is to be expected, but, you know, when you're an NFL player, you know, this shouldn't be something that's happening. Hopefully they can get that corrected. Of course, there are some things happening on the defensive side. Linebacker-wise, you have Nick Roach coming in from the Chicago Bears. It sounds like he has taken over as that leader on defense. They've gotten rid of the old and bringing in the new, so it should be exciting for Raider fans to see, you know, a breath of fresh air and a change of pace, and Dennis Allen is definitely leading that.
Now, going back to the AFC West days when Seattle and the Raiders went toe-to-toe for many years, it seems like they're taking similar formulas. Oakland a couple years after Seattle, meaning a GM coming from Green Bay ties with John Schneider in Seattle and Reggie McKenzie down there in Oakland, and, you know, turning the team over, lots of transactions, trying to get the culture right, and then the winning should begin.
Yeah, and who would have thought, you know, after you had mentioned the, you know, Seattle being in the AFC West once upon a time, and actually a stoic rival, and who would have thought that the Raiders would actually take a page, you know, from Seattle? But Seattle is definitely doing things right now. You know, they are the favorites, one of the favorites in the NFL, and there's no doubt about it. It's been talked about as of recent. They are the team that's going to challenge the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC West, and not just the NFC West, but for the NFC crown. And, you know, Seattle, it just seems like so far everything has been going right for them. How's camp going on up there?
Well, of course, the biggest hurdle and question mark right now is the health and how effective or ineffective Percy Harvin will be if he even plays this year. He reported to the start of training camp, said he had some hip issues. They checked him out, gave him an MRI. Sure enough, they're seeing a partially torn labrum, and he is currently in New York City to get a second opinion from a hip specialist tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, you never want to hear anything like that. Of course, Percy Harvin coming over from the Minnesota Vikings, and he is that added bonus that's supposed to help Seattle get over the top. You know, you never want to talk about injuries. And, you know, I talk to a lot of fans down here in San Francisco. And, you know, the big thing is, you know, hey, did you hear about Percy Harvin? And I'm sure up in Seattle is, hey, did you hear about, you know, Michael Crabtree? You know, if both of these teams are 100%, this should be a great season to watch them battle it out to the end. You know, and I just hope that Percy Harvin, you know, winds up with a speedy recovery and at least, you know, gets a chance to make an impact this year.
Well, the team is definitely going to take it cautiously. Both general manager John Schneider and head coach Pete Carroll have said there are a lot of options and a lot of things we can do to get Percy right. They are hoping that they can go with rest and rehabilitation to get Percy through the season and to play. And if he has surgery, you're looking at 4 to 6 months out of action, which would put him out pretty much for the entire regular season.
Yeah, you know, the good thing about that, though, is that Seattle has a plethora of receivers. So, you know, as long as these other receivers can stay healthy, it will allow Percy Harvin to get better. The other thing is of course, with training camp started, the fervor and the excitement that goes on, of course, getting a chance to look at Seahawks camp the past couple of days and seeing the 3,000 to 4,000 people that show up for practice day in and day out. It's something that will allow the players who are injured to get a little bit better because, you know, that excitement runs through your veins and it runs through your system, and that helps you in that speedy recovery.
Yeah, 2,500 tickets for each training camp session sold out for the first time. The team is allowing 14 practices to be attended by the 12th man in Seattle. For the first time, they sold all 14 practices out.
Yeah, you know, and again, this time of the season is exciting, not just for the players, it's exciting for the fans, and that's why you see those fans turning out. And of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the San Francisco 49ers and what's going on down here in the Bay Area. Of course, you have Colin Kaepernick, you know, looking the part as training camp starts. And I mean, you talk about a rock specimen. This guy looks like he has definitely been training in the off season, and it looks like he is very focused now that training camp has started. Of course, you have Vernon Davis, who is also, if you haven't heard, is actually taking a look at playing at the receiver spot. And, you know, if anybody can play receiver, you're looking at, you know, Quan Bolden at the slot, and then you have on the other side, you have Vernon Davis. I mean, you look at two powerful receivers. So, you know, San Francisco is tinkering with some things, and of course they have their solid part of the offense with Frank Gore, and, you know, and of course their defense with the linebacker core. Watching them also in training camp, they look like they're fired up and ready to go.
Sean, what's your take on the amount of injuries that are coming out of OTAs and now training camps? We see a lot of ACLs, a lot of Achilles going down, and it's just going to get to the point again where people are questioning, do we have too many practices? Do we have too much going on in training camp?
Yeah, well, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, these guys, what are they doing in the off season? And the reason why I say that is the Baltimore Ravens, Jacoby Jones, who's a kickoff return specialist extraordinaire, comes into the OTAs and has his physical just before training camp, he can't pass the conditioning portion, you know, and so these are part of the reasons why a lot of these athletes are hurt. Of course, you know, one of the big athletes, the bigger athletes that has been hurt in the offseason here or in training camp has been Jeremy Maclin of the Philadelphia Eagles. Of course, tearing his ACL. That is a big blow to the Philadelphia Eagles. And, of course, it sounds like there are two injuries on the offensive line for the Denver Broncos, both at the center position. So, you know, you do not want to start your season out this way, but at the same time, as the coaches say, we have to move on, and that's what training camp is for. So hopefully these guys, you know, it's the next man up and they're up to speed. You were talking a little bit about the Minnesota Vikings, Sean. Of course, that's the black and blue division. And, you know, of course you have Christian Ponder this year that's looking to do some great things this year. You know, that division is definitely going to be tough. But one of the things that I was talking about earlier, going back to the NFC West, you know, this is, you know, I believe that this is definitely the strongest division in the NFL. What do you think?
Well, just a few short years ago, it was the opposite. So it is good to see that people are thinking that the NFC West can be one of the better, if not the best, divisions in football, with the 49ers and the Seahawks probably duking it out for the division title in 2013. But you can't count out the Rams, who were 500 last year and took care of the 49ers. And then Arizona bringing in Raiders former quarterback Carson Palmer. They might be lying in the weeds to try and do some damage.
Yeah, you know, one of the big question marks in the NFC West, and you just mentioned it, is the Arizona Cardinals, of course, adding Carson Palmer as a quarterback. I think that that is definitely an upgrade for them. The other acquisitions that the Arizona Cardinals have brought in, I mean, they've looked to beef up their defense at the corner position, and, of course, bring in Johnny Abraham from the Atlanta Falcons. You know, that should be an added bonus for them at the on the defensive line front. And so, you know, I talked about this before. I believe that this is, one of the teams, the big enigma in the NFC West. And if Seattle and San Francisco aren't careful, you know, Arizona could clip them up a couple of times.
So with the Oakland Raiders and the AFC West, do you think Denver's still going to reign supreme in the West, or might the Chiefs, the Raiders, or even the Chargers come through and try to take Denver's spot?
Well, there's no doubt about it that the Denver Broncos are the elite team, looking at them coming in into the AFC West. When you look at the next rung down, who's going to step in to be that second team, you have to look at some of the acquisitions that the Kansas City Chiefs have done and the San Diego Chargers have done. You know, of course, Kansas City picking up Alex Smith from San Francisco. They have the new head coach in Andy Reid, a new system, a new scheme. It sounds like there's a lot of excitement there. Of course, the San Diego Chargers are in the same boat as well. Now, when it comes to the Oakland Raiders, it's just a matter of how quick can they build that base and how quick can they come together here in the next couple of weeks of training camp. But, again, in the AFC West, I say that the Denver Broncos are definitely the team to beat.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd. I'm Sean Wally. This is On the Double with the Double S Express. And let's go out to big-time guest number one, joining us from Minnesota, sports anchor and host of Game On in Minnesota, Rod Simons. Rod, thanks a lot for joining us. How are things going, and what are you looking for out of the Minnesota Vikings this season?
Hi, guys. Hope you're having a good night. We think the Vikings are going to have a good season. You know, they were 10-6 last year. They were 3-13 the year before, but they've made subtle improvements to their roster. They've had three number one draft picks, and there's a great deal of confidence in the training camp that they're going to improve on 10-6.
Rod, thank you for being on the show. We have Rod Simons on the show. Hey, Rod, one of the things that you were saying, there are three first-round picks that the Minnesota Vikings have. Of course, the solid anchors on the offense, of course, all day Adrian Peterson and quarterback Christian Ponder. How do you see Christian playing this year after a solid end of the season last year?
Well, there's a lot of people who the jury is out on Ponder. A lot of people want to pick him apart and think that he's not the quarterback, but the team is just asking him to, you know, play within himself. He has new receiving targets, and there's a feeling that he can distribute the ball very effectively. And again, you know, this is not a passing team. This is a running team, and perhaps the best running team in the NFL with Peterson as its anchor. So there's a lot of confidence that Ponder can make it happen.
Now, of course, you mentioned Adrian Peterson. Of course, he comes off of a strong year, very close to breaking the single season rushing record.
Is that 8 yards?
Eight yards. I was hoping that, you know, he didn't put himself in the scoring position for the Minnesota Vikings to win that game, because I wanted him to get the 8 yards. But man, is that something that he's looking to do again this year?
Peterson says he's going to rush for 2,500 yards.
Wow.
And crushing the record. And, you know, when you're around him, you kind of drink the Kool-Aid. Because no one's ever came back from that kind of a knee injury. as fast and as successfully as Peterson has. And, you know, you talk to all his starting linemen, and they say, we've got your back. We're going to lead you there. So, you know, there's a great deal of confidence. You know, here's the thing. The Vikings don't rah-rah like Pete Carroll and some of the coaches in the National Football League. It's not an in-your-face team. They continue to grow and make good, solid choices draft-wise. They make prudent free agent signings, and they think that they have the right combination to improve on 10-6 and make that next step. It's hard in the National Football League because it's kind of an in-your-face league. But the reality is they don't want Richard Sherman types. They want players to play within themselves and be part of a bigger team. And you know, I'm not taking anything away from the Seahawks or 49ers or whomever it is that, you know, has a loud and boisterous, you know, group of players. That's just not the way the Vikings are going to be. And even if you look at Peterson, he's not a loud type. He just lets his game speak for itself on the field. And there's nobody in the league better than he is when it comes to a running back.
That's the voice of sports anchor Rod Simons out of Minneapolis and host of Game On, joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And Rod, talking about Adrian Peterson, he wore a helmet cam recently, and man, that was a dizzying video to watch.
Yeah, I saw that. It was the talk of camp today. And, you know, it's just fun to be around him because that's kind of the way Peterson is. Today, it was the first day that the Vikings had pads. And he just continues to amaze. He's not bothered by the knee at all. And he has now set his sights on the 2,500 yards, which everybody was talking about. And yeah, the helmet cam as well, which went viral on YouTube. It was kind of fun to watch. But just one of those little shows that he puts on. And, you know, they're hoping for, let's be honest, they're hoping for big things out of number 28 this season.
As you're well aware, Rod, there are a handful of former Minnesota Vikings on the Seattle roster, one being a Percy Harvin. Did you have any dealings with him in covering the team, and what are your thoughts on him? Is he the prima donna he's made out to be, and how did he – things didn't go so well in Minnesota for him. Do you think he can get a fresh start in Seattle?
I thought things went very well. He was a very – he's a prolific player, and I didn't call him a prima donna. I think that he, you know, the media want to make him out to be that way. Harvin missed a lot of practices because of migraines. He lost a lot of the season last year after the Seattle game with an injury, the high ankle sprain. And quite frankly, I haven't paid much attention to him. And since his departure, I know that I've heard that he had some sort of a hip injury. I don't know the latest on that, but they have Antoine Winfield, who's fighting to earn a job in the defensive backfield out in Seattle, and Sidney Rice, who's, you know, still trying to live up to the one big season that he had with Brett Favre out here a few years ago. So, yeah. Oh, and, you know, there's also Heath Farwell, who arguably may be the best of the bunch in terms of consistency and contribution to the Seahawks. You know, on the defensive side as well as the special teams, Heath Farwell's a monster participant in the team. So, you know, those were all great players. I knew them all and wish them well. But, you know, injuries have kept most of those guys off the field with the exception of Winfield, who just joined the Seahawks. And it looks like injuries will continue to hamper Harvin, and it may keep him from realizing his true potential, that and his attitude. He's a little bit difficult. He's a hard one to read. Let's just put it like that. But, you know, clearly he's got the money that he wanted, and hopefully he'll be able to come back from injury. No one wants him to be hurt because he's clearly, when he's playing, one of the best in the game.
For those of you just tuning in, we have Rod Simons on the Double with the Double S Express. Thanks for being on here, Rod. A couple of questions here. You had mentioned, you know, Percy Harvin and Sidney Rice over in Seattle. Of course, you having your ties in Seattle. Do you ever find yourself actually, you know, looking back and, you know, rooting these guys on from time to time. I know that you're entrenched in Minnesota right now, but do you ever see yourself looking, and I know you've done some things with the Sonics and the Mariners and so forth.
It's hard when they play each other. you know, because that's we spend a lot of time out in Seattle. But
yeah, I see.
But it's like last year, we had a number of family with us. We had, I think I bought 10 or 12 tickets CenturyLink Field. And we came out for the game and spent the weekend out in Seattle, and it was a great time. But as you guys know, when you're around a team and franchises for a long time, you want them to do well, because covering a team that is winning is much better than covering a team that's losing.
Right.
And it makes your job a lot easier. It makes everyone around you, and it makes the community feel better. You know, I wasn't out there when the Seahawks ran to the Super Bowl, but you guys remember the feeling. I mean, everybody was pumped. Everybody was happy. Everybody was yanked that they lost to the Steelers, which they kind of got robbed. And yeah, we were home cheering for the Seahawks when we were here in the, the depths of winter here in Minnesota. But, you know, I find myself hoping that they do well, but when it comes to playing the Vikings, these days I'm kind of pulling for the purple a little bit, just simply because I cover them, I work around them, and honestly, I don't know many of the Seahawks anymore. The team I covered is long gone, much like the team of Mariners who were there when I was covering Griffey and Randy Johnson and Edgar Martinez and Dan Wilson and Jay Buhner and Tino Martinez and A-Rod, right. You know. In fact, just the other day I was in at Target Field in Minneapolis. Well, it was a couple months ago, actually. And I ran into Tino Martinez, who has since left as hitting coach of the Miami Marlins, but it was great to run into some of these older Mariners, if you will. And so, yeah, the ties are still there. It's just work kind of takes a hold on how you cheer and who you're pulling for.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Rod, one of those guys you used to cover as a player and have a bit of a friendship with that you were able to meet up with about a month ago when the Mariners were in town there in Minnesota, Minneapolis, playing the Twins, was your good buddy Dave Valley. So just like you were talking about, I'm sure that was a great time to reminisce and catch up and have some fun.
It's crazy because our schedules, I try to find times when they overlap, and Val was in Minneapolis by chance. He wasn't scheduled to work that Mariner broadcast. He was working for Major League Baseball Network, MLB Network, and he flew in just to catch up with the team before he went home. And it was great because, you know, David does a lot of good things in Seattle. His primary job next to his baseball analysis work is helping third world underdeveloped countries, especially in the Dominican Republic, through Esperanza, his charity called Esperanza. And we had an opportunity to catch up. I had an opportunity to introduce him to some potential sponsors and donors. So it was a very blessed evening. I mean, we 2 hours couldn't have gone any faster than it did. And we've been able to stay in touch and, you know, keep a lot of friendships alive. And it's all because of the fun work that we did when we were all together starting out in Seattle, way back in the day, as they say now.
Yeah, and Esperanza was exactly where I was going next, because that was such a great story you did. You got to travel down there with Dave, and you know, I was around working with you those days, and
that's
just a fabulous, fabulous charity and great work being done down there.
It's amazing to see how it's grown. You know, Sean, that was one of the interesting conversation points of our visit, was the dynamic growth of Esperanza and the number of people they're helping, and just the return rate on the loans. You know, 98% of the money that they loan out in the Dominican Republic is repaid. We don't have that kind of, we don't even have come close to that in America. Americans have no idea how good. Am I going to get on the soapbox? Don't worry about that. You won't have to hit the mute button.
No, but go right ahead.
People don't have, they have no idea of how good they've got it. And just the, what people live on in those third world countries is staggering. That was a trip that changed my life. And, you know, I've done, since I have moved, we moved to Minnesota, which happened shortly after I came back from that Dominican trip. It was a couple of years later. I've started to do a great deal of charity work, and we give out tens of thousands of dollars every single year in the charity of which I'm working, and it doesn't really help underdeveloped countries. I'm just helping put adoptive kids with families. You know, that's what I do because our daughter was adopted, but, it, you know, it's the direction God put me in to help out other people, and that's what I do. But, you know, Valley is an amazing story with wonderful people and tremendous volunteers, and I salute the people in baseball who actually, you know, step out on a limb and help him. And you'd be stunned to know how many people don't just try to help. I would say 1 out of 10 helps. The other 9 find a reason not to help. And that's inexcusable in my book. I don't give a damn what they say or what their excuse is. There's no excuse for that. If you're able to put your pants on and put shoes on, have a house over your head and food in your belly, then you have a damn right responsibility to help other people.
Exactly. And, yeah, those are definitely great words to go by. And, of course, you had mentioned one of the charities that you do, and, of course, that is the Gift of Adoption. It is a great 501(c) that you have going on. And tell the listeners a little bit, because I believe you've done some things with PGA golfer Tom Lehman, and there was a big tournament that you had. But talk a little bit about the charity that you do.
Well, the Tom Lehman's connection to us is the golf course on which we play every year, and we do a golf event. And one of the things that happens when you're sports anchor or in radio or have the opportunity to be a so-called celebrity and someone who people pay attention to in a town is you have the ability to touch lives, and you either use that you know, for vanity purposes or you use it to help other people. And we choose to try to pick the people to help out in terms, at least in this cause, and we do other things too. But my wife and I adopted our daughter 7 years ago. She was a domestic adoption out of Sacramento, and we said if we were ever fortunate enough to have a child, we would give back tenfold, and we've kept that promise by creating a golf tournament and some other smaller ancillary events that go with it, you know, in terms of fundraising when it's not, because there's a lot of winter here in Minnesota, and so you try to create other events that help raise some money. But it's called Golf for the Gift, and it's dedicated to my daughter, and we have a lot of tremendous volunteers. We sell out every year. We have over 180 golfers and sponsors and the top celebrities in the region, and they all come out to one of the nicest, most beautiful golfing you know, palaces in the Midwest, and there's a lot of people who play golf out here, fellas. It is gigantic in the Midwest. Because when people get cooped up all winter, the last thing they want to do is stay in their house during the summer.
Right.
And we raise a lot of money, and we give it to families through grants, and through Gift of Adoption Fund, and we basically help them close that financial finish line to get their adoption. Say if they're $3,000 to $5,000 short, last thing we want them to do is max out their damn credit card to make it happen. So we... you know, they apply for these grants, and if they meet the criteria, which is pretty simple, then they get the money and they close their adoption. So that's what we choose to do. We hope it helps. We think it does, and it makes our heart feel pretty good at the end.
Some great work in the community being done by Rod Simons joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And Rod, last question for you quickly. What do your 8 Emmy Awards mean to you?
Well, they're nice. It's more of a, boy, oh boy. You know, to be truthful, at the end of the day, they don't mean a whole lot because they're just awards. And I know that sounds a little trite, but it's really true. They don't pay bills. They don't do any of that stuff. It's just a nice representation of some of the work that's been able to be done. And, you know, there's a lot of creative that goes into the process of which we do. And those are kind of the material high fives that come with doing some good work. I remember some of the stories. Sean talked about the Esperanza trip, which was a series of stories that was done back when Channel 11 KSTW in Seattle did news, serious news.
Right.
And had some very, very talented people there at the time, people who are reporting all over the world now and even in this country. And I was honored to be a part of that team. And, you know, when you work with people like that, they set the bar pretty damn high, and you got to keep up. And I think some of those are representative of the work that I did in Seattle. Half of them were earned out here, where I won Best Sportscaster 3 out of 5, I think it was 2 or 3 out of 5 years that I was one of the main anchors here. So to be honest with you, the most fun I've had is like last year when we got an Emmy nomination. We didn't win, but we got a nomination for the independent work that I do on Game On, which is, you know, I don't work in a newsroom anymore. I have my own independent little company, and we produce shows that get on TV. And Game On is one of them. And it is an extremely creative, wonderfully graphic TV show that's done every week on, much like the topics that you guys do. It's very diverse, and it's all over the map. It might have a female basketball player, a Vikings player. It may have a dirt bike rider, and then it may have a chef, all on the same show. But we create each and every week, and we're the few people who work on it are very, very proud of it. And so the answer is, you know, we're doing what we can and having fun in the process, and doing what we're supposed to do.
And to find Game On, if you're not in the Minneapolis TV viewing area, you can find it on demand at GameOnTVMN.com. Rod Simons,
thank you. Your homework. Nice job. You did your homework. Nice job.
Hey, I took good notes when you were trying to send me the right direction.
Fellas, nice job, and thank you for your time. It's nice to be with you tonight.
Thanks, Rod. Thanks for being on the show.
Have a good night. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Rod Simons, sports anchor and host of Game On in Minnesota. Again, GameOnTVMN.com. Rod Simons, 8-time Emmy Award-winning sports journalist.
Yeah, you know, Rod was talking about some of the things that his show does. Of course, he owns his own company, Rod Media Communications, LLC. And, you know, some of the things that we try to do on our show here is make sure that we're getting, you know, a lot of the positive out. You know, there in this day and age, of course, we talk about, you know, the current events, but, you know, there are a lot of athletes out there that do, you know, the things that are positive, and we just want to bring that light. And it's good to know that Rod Simons does the same thing and that we're on the same page, because, you know, if you wake up in the morning and you turn on ESPN or you turn on some of the other networks, you'll see that, you know, it's a gloomy, gloomy situation sometimes in sports, and it's not really that case. You know, there are a lot of people doing some great things.
Absolutely, and Rod Simons is one of those. So that's it for our big time guest number one. Sean, what do we got coming up after the break?
Well, coming up after the break, we have Major League Baseball slugger Greg Vaughn.
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd, and it's time to go right back out to the phone line and welcome in big time guest number two, and that is former Major League Baseball slugger Greg Vaughn. Greg, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Hey, Sean, thanks for having me.
Hey, Greg, welcome to the show, man. Appreciate having you on. And, man, I'm really excited because, for one, you know, getting the chance to meet and talk with you on a personal basis and getting a chance to actually know a Major League Baseball all-star, because that's what you are, man. I appreciate you for coming on to the show and spending some time to talk with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So some of the things that have been going on here in the past week, of course, you know, Major League Baseball is kind of taking a couple of blows, if you will. And this is something that's been reoccurring actually over the years. But of course, what I'm talking about is the whole situation with Ryan Braun. You know, give us your thoughts about what's going on in Major League Baseball, and you know, what are some of the things that could be done to right the ship or make things better?
Well, I think they are making things better. I think, you know, they're taking a stance and they're making you know, they're making progress. You know, guys are getting suspended and losing lots of money because of decisions they make. And, you know, that's the chance you take, you know, when you decide to cross that line. You know, so I disagree when people say baseball is taking a back seat. It's no different than football or track and field, because these guys are getting suspended. What's happening is, I think these players that it keeps happening to are the players that have went on, you know, sort of went live and said, you know, and swore and said they didn't do all these things. I think they're taking the hit opposed to Major League Baseball. It just happens to be that they're playing baseball. You know, people are still going to the games. If you have a good team and, you know, you have good players out there, they're going to continue to go. I just think that baseball is doing the right thing. And, you know, players will think twice now before they, you know, decide to cross their line.
And, of course, some of the things that you're talking about as far as Major League Baseball taking the steps into the right direction, the latest with Alex Rodriguez coming out, there's a couple of options for him, is what it sounds like, either a two-year suspension with no pay or being suspended for life. Those are very severe when you think about the grand scheme of things, and you're mentioning other sports that have the same problem. Do you think that it's justifiable?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's justifiable because, you know what, a couple of years ago when the, you know, collective bargaining agreement was signed, those were the guidelines. You know, the first time was so many games, second time was so many times, so many games, third time was, I think, lifetime. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's not like they're making them up as they go. You know what I mean? So
right.
You have a choice. And, And like I said, I don't care what anyone does, as long as you tell me the rules before the game starts, then I make a decision on what I want to do. You know what I mean? And these aren't anything new, you know. So for Alex, you know, who's a friend of mine, and Bronny, who's a good friend, you know, these guys are good guys. You know, they just happen to, you know, get caught up, you know. And we don't know why they did it or didn't do it. You know, it just happens to be that they made a mistake, and unfortunately with, you know, the media and then the sports the way they are, you know, their mistakes are, you know, 24/7 all over, you know, the networks, you know, from ESPN to CNN to MLB, CBS Radio, you know, that's just the way it works.
And mentioning the media, of course, do you believe that that's just something that is for good radio or good television to come out and just, you know, slander and give all of the negative press? And, you know, do you feel that, you know, it is, you know, slanted to the left a little bit or slanted to the right a little bit?
Well, I think, you know, I've always said this for years. I think controversy and negativity sell. I mean, how many times, if you turn on ESPN or if you turn on anything, you know, people want to see who messed up and who's making news. I mean, ETV to the, you know, when you go to the grocery store, those right. Those racks right there by checkout, they're filled with freaking bullcrap. You know, people want to see who messed up, who's getting a divorce, who slept with who, who's cheating here. I mean, that's just the way society's wound, you know. And so this happens to fall in that category, you know. And unfortunately for, you know, A-Rod and Bronny, that, you know, they have came out and, you know, walked that line of saying that I did not do this, I did not do that, and it's coming back to bite them a little bit. So, you know, everyone has a job to do, and unfortunately, like I said, and that's just my belief. I just think everyone has a job to do, just like sports writers. They write about you when you're going good, but if you go bad, they're going to write about you. So that's why, you know, for me, telling my son and telling, you know, players that before me said, don't read the newspapers, don't get caught up in it, because they have a job to do, and you can't knock anybody for doing their job, you know. And like I said, I'll be a firm believer, controversy sells.
Former Major League Baseball slugger Greg Vaughn joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. Greg, you had 355 home runs throughout your Major League career. And in talking about guys that are using PEDs, does it hit you the wrong way? Does it frustrate you that there's guys out there that are trying to get this extra edge and break the rules to, you know, get that record or maybe get a bigger contract when there were – majority of the guys are playing it straight and narrow?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, that's hard to say because, like I said, you know, I haven't came from a third world country, you know, where, you know, that might be your only way out. You know what I mean? Who knows what I would do or anyone would do. But, you know, so it's hard to speak with on what someone else would do or what their reasoning is for it. For me, you know, it is what it is. You know, I try not to look back, you know, because you look at my numbers and the money I was paid, and you look at some guys before me that had way better numbers, or, you know, they weren't paid as much as I was, you know. So baseball's been good to me. I can't say anything bad about the game. You know, like I said, I have tremendous friendship. I have, you know, a lot of love for the game. It's the greatest game in the world to me. You know, golf is a close second now because that's all I do. But but baseball's a great game, you know. So I can't sit here and say, you know, I wish they wouldn't have, or I wish they had. You know, my whole thing is, you know, like I said, until you can walk in someone another man's shoes, you don't know what you would do. You know, for me, I should have played better. I should have hit more. You know what I mean?
Greg, thinking back to when you were drafted out of the University of Miami in the 1986 amateur draft, first round, fourth pick overall, what were you thinking at that time? And was it mind-boggling, mind-blowing, or did you just know that that's how it was going to be and you were ready for it?
Well, for me, like I said, it was a dream come true. You know, my cousin Jerry Royster played before me, and I would always tag around when they'd come to San Francisco. Or, you know, baseball was in my family. I mean, we played sports. My cousin Ricky Reynolds, my mom's brother's son, same Little League team. So, in Tampa Bay, you know, Buccaneers, New England Patriots. And we, I mean, sports were in our blood. I see myself, you know, I dreamed about, you know, being on TV. You know, I thought it was going to be football, and then I just decided to play baseball. But, it was a dream come true, you know, for me to be able to play something, to have a job that I really like, you know, because, you know, when you get that age, you hear about so many people, oh, I got to go to work. You know, they didn't like their jobs, but they had to do it. For me, baseball was never work for me. You know what I mean? It was frustrating just because, like I said, the mental part of it, you know, either you have a whole state loving you or a whole state hating you and that war on you a little bit. But to play a game and get up and get paid for it and have people look up to you, you know, I had the best job in the world. You know, so when people, you know, I tell kids all the time, you know, oh, I got to go hit, I have to do this. I said, why don't you just spend one summer, you know, pouring hot tar or running a jackhammer one time, and baseball will always be good for you. You know what I mean? Because for me to be able to play a game and get paid for it, I had no better job in the world. So, you know, when I got drafted, I was the happiest guy on the planet, I think.
For those of you just tuning in, we have Greg Vaughn, former Major League slugger, taking the time out to talk with us. Hey, Greg, mention to the listeners here, let's walk back to 1998. And you know, I can tell you where I was and some of the things that, you know, that I was doing as far as, you know, watching the home run sensations that were going on at that time. There was Ken Griffey Jr., Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, and yourself as far as the home run title or trying to get the home run title. And it was just something unheard of that there were this many athletes that were hitting 50 home runs. Tell us a little bit on what that felt like in that goal and trying to get the home run title.
Well, for me, you know, I don't think, you know, when I first came out of spring training, you know, it was to have a good year and get to the World Series. And then as the season went on, you know, you get to the All-Star break and you have 30 home runs. And you see the balls flying out of the ballpark, you know, everyone was hitting them, you know, and I don't think that was still my priority. I think my priority was, you know, to win a World Series. You know what I mean? When I was 22 years old, Robin Young said, you know, this game goes fast. You know, you look up, you're a rookie, next thing you know, it's all over. And he said, kid, you know, because that's what he called me, or he said, Jack, you know, he said, hey, I played 20-something years and went to one World Series. And, you know, at 22, I'm like, oh, no way that's going to happen to me. You know what I mean? So at 1998, I hadn't even been to the playoffs but a couple of times, and I've never been to a World Series. So I think the goal was to help my team get to the World Series or get to the playoffs and then the World Series. So, but like I said, we had a big lead in – once we had a big lead in the West, and I had 49 home runs with a month ago, I was like, oh, yeah, we got to get 50. You know what I mean? And so I promise you, it took me my last at bat, the last game of the year. I went down in the tunnel. It was the eighth, and we were on the road, Arizona. So it was the ninth inning. We're losing by one. And I went down in the tunnel and I said, you know what? 49 home runs is a good year. You know, you had a great year. So I go back out to the plate. You know, we're winning. Playoffs are starting. Both says, hey, do you want to come out? I said, no. Let's finish this. I want to be on the field when we can say, you know, we're the NL West champ. So. I get 1-2, one ball, two strikes. Last at bat, top of the ninth in Arizona. 1-2 slider, and I hit it out. And I swear to God, it was like it took the I don't know, you know, like all the weight off my body, just like I was running around bases in the air. You know what I mean? It was just like I was floating. I almost broke Davey Lopes' hand at first base, and then when I turned to hit third base and see Flannery, you know, I almost broke his hand because, you know, just all the excitement. And then the biggest thing was when I turned the base at third, I'm coming home. It was like Little League World Series. You know how when all the kids run out to home plate?
Right.
My whole team was at home plate. You know, so my whole team
That's
was
great.
At home plate. So, I mean, they were pulling for me. They wanted, and it sort of took a load off us to go in the playoffs and then get to the World Series. So, you know, it was a big accomplishment. But I think, you know, for me, it was even more so because I felt like it helped my team, put our team in the playoffs and then the World Series. So that was special. And to be one of so many players that ever say they hit 50, I mean, that's a great goal also.
Definitely. Definitely.
Greg Vaughn joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. Greg, what did it mean to you to have your son Corey drafted and in the New York Mets organization? And also, how's he doing?
It was awesome to have Corey, you know, get drafted and be able to play baseball. And, you know, I just wanted Corey to do what he wanted to do. You know, I don't want him to do it because I wanted to do it, because I did it. or I don't want to pressure him to play baseball. But that's, he truly loves it, and he's a great player. And he was having a great year, and then he sort of, you know, he just got a little injured, nicked up on the elbow. So he was on the DL for a couple months, but he's coming back, and he's swinging well and playing well. I think he's with a good organization. I mean, there's a lot of room to move up from what I see. You know what I mean? So it's better than being with the Dodgers, you know what I mean? Because the Mets, I mean, to me, you know, like I said, if you're in the big leagues, you're doing a heck of a job. But as a player and as a prospect, I think, you know, the Mets are a good place to be because they have a lot of room for a lot of new players to come in.
Yeah, and I believe it's just a matter of time before Corey gets brought up and you know, is doing some of the, you know, the great things that you've accomplished as well. He's definitely got, you know, power. And so he's a great left fielder, and you know, I can see him doing some awesome things here in the next few years. I want to shift gears a little bit, Greg, and I want you to talk a little bit about, you know, some of the things that you do in the community, because, of course, I know, you know, some of the things that you do, having a chance to be out at the golf course and one of your fundraising events for the youth. Tell our listeners what it is that you're doing out in the community these days.
Well, for me, I mean, it's all about the youth. You know what I mean? You know, I started a program at Bradshaw Christian School, so I'm the baseball coach there. I still do pro ball stuff. But, you know, as far as my community, it's just trying to make a difference. You know what I mean? For me, it's, you know, taking these kids that don't have a lot of hope and dreams, because I don't see it a lot now. You know, if you don't live in the suburbs and come from a two-parent home, and, you know, a lot of kids, they just feel like they have nothing to live for. You know, I'm trying to change that thought process. You know, trying to make a difference. Like today was Big Brothers, Big Sisters. You know, trying to get out there, and we had a golf outing, and trying to make a difference for them and generate some revenue and fun. So people, not like myself, there's a lot of people doing a lot more things than me that are doing this full-time, that are out there pounding the pavement, you know, trying to keep these kids off the streets and give them hope. Because, like I said, I just don't think they dream enough. I'm telling you, when I was 8, 9, 10, I seen myself on TV. That was a dream I had. You know, I talk to kids now, well, I can be a security guard and work at the dollar store. I'm like, that's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be president. You can be a doctor. You can be anything you want. But, you know, we just got to continue to give these kids hope and something to live for and thrive for, and so they can make a difference.
Greg, when you're working with these youth and youth baseball players in particular, what is one of the things that you want to instill in them and get across to them to be able to maximize their potential and possibly follow baseball if that is their dream?
Well, for me, like I said, once again, for me, the first thing I tell them is the game, don't act like you're doing the game a favor. You know, go out there and you respect it, you play hard. But, you know, there's Division II, Division III, NAIA. There's a lot of different divisions, and baseball can pay for an education. It can help you get that education so you can, you know, strive to become whatever it is you want to become. And baseball is a great game. Like I said, for the most part, the kids are great. It's the parents. You know, it's not the kids, it's the parents. You know, and I'm not talking about at my school in particular. I'm just saying in general. You know, it's always the coach's fault. It's the umpire's fault. You know, there's no sense of accountability for parents to kids anymore. You know, they get a sense of entitlement. You know what I mean? And I
right.
I think this is what this generation is. Oh, I showed up so it could happen. No, you know, you showed up so you gave yourself a chance so it could happen. But you still got to work. It's like you do your homework. You go to class, doesn't mean you're going to get an A. You still got to
right.
do the homework. You know what I mean? So, you know, I just try to instill, you know, the work ethic, you know, the, you know, life skills, life lessons. You know, I think sports are important because it's a lot like life. You know, it's going to knock you down. It's going to beat you up. But hopefully you'll rebound, you'll get up, and you continue to fight. You know, so for me, you know, there's a lot of things that go into coaching. But like I said, for the most part, the kids are great. You know, it's the parents that, like I said, I would never understand. When I was growing up, the adult was always right. You know what I mean? My mom and dad, they didn't play that.
Right.
You know, my parents got divorced when I was in the sixth grade, and my mom didn't play that. If the teacher called, you were wrong, you're in trouble. If another adult said you did this, you were wrong, you're in trouble. Nowadays, you know, the parents blame everyone, and the kids have no sense of accountability. And I think that's what's wrong with, you know, this generation coming up. You know, as far as technology, they're great. But the sense of life lessons and life skills, hard work for a hard day's pay, I think we're taking a step backwards in that aspect.
Yes, and yeah, definitely. And I think one of the problems with the parents of today is, of course, they see the dollar signs. They see, you know, all the things that could happen for their kids, but they don't really understand how much hard work and dedication that it takes, like you're saying. And if they just rolled up their sleeves and focused and, you know, set it as a goal and understand that that with that success comes hard work, I think they would realize. But,
well,
you know, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Sean, I agree with you 100%. It is hard work. But, you know, what happens is it's the technology. You know, I tell all kids, you know, like first day of, you know, like a camp or you know, first day of practice, hey, treat it like your cell phone. Because these kids will go to war for a cell phone. You know what I mean? So I'm saying,
right.
But when you go to school, treat it like someone took your cell phone. When you're playing a sport, treat it like someone took your cell phone. And, you know, unfortunately, with the cell phone comes Google and all those other things that are super and they're great. But
right.
Kids, they don't know how to fight and battle for anything anymore. You know, if it's going wrong, they think they can Google it and they'll get their answer. You know, and like you just said, you roll up your sleeves, you dig in, and you compete. You know, we're missing an aspect on competing. We think we can Google, okay, if I'm doing this, this, and this, I can Google and get the answer. No, sometimes you just got to compete and go out there. You know, I had a kid one time. I mean, he was hitting the backstop, the top of the backstop, a pitcher, right? So I run out there, and I say, what's going on? He's like, Coach, I think I'm overstriding. I think, you know, my length is too long. I'm taking the ball out too early. Dude, if you threw 15 balls up at the top, why don't you try to just aim lower and see what happens? Why we got to try to make it rocket science? You know what I mean?
Right.
If I'm popping the ball up, hit the ball on the ground. You know what I mean? If my pitches are high, aim low. But like I said, we're trying to make it too complicated. You know what I mean? And I think the simpler we can make it and, you know, get these kids to start thinking for themselves. I know baseball is horrible. At 8 years old, the coach is calling pitches. Kids don't even know how to freaking – they take their instinct out of them at 8 years old. Then they go to traveling baseball. They call all the pitches. Catchers don't even know what they're doing. Pitchers just are on autopilot. They tell them when they can swing, steal, and run. I'm glad I grew up in the era I did. And I love the coaches that are given all the time. But make it about the kids and not the coach. You know what I mean?
Right.
Teach them the game.
Definitely. And those are great words of wisdom there. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, some of the listeners, some of the kids, if you're out there listening, you know, those are things that you can definitely put into your arsenal or your repertoire to be better. But, Greg, thanks for being on the show, man. Appreciate having you on. And, you know, we're definitely going to be following some of the things that you're doing in the future. And don't be a stranger. You know, love to have some of your insight back on the show in the near future.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Take care.
All right. You too.
Thanks a lot. Greg Vaughn, former MLB slugger, 355 home runs, and now he's hoping that his son will be getting some home runs in the show one day soon. Look for him in a New York Met uniform at a city near you.
Man, you know, when Greg was talking about, you know, the strive for 50 and, of course, getting his team to win the pennant, you know, you couldn't help but, you know, when he was telling that story, man, didn't it feel like you were actually there reliving it all over again?
Oh, it was great. You know, that whole race with Sammy and Mark and, you know, Greg was right there hitting 50. And what was crazy that we didn't even get to touch on with him is after his 50-homer season with the Padres, he was traded.
Yeah. And so there's a whole story behind that, of course, going to Cincinnati, having to go to Cincinnati. And then, of course, the famous owner, Marge Schatz, you know, and her having, you know, not wanting the players to have hair on their face. And, you're right. I wish I would have had the chance. I wish we had some time to talk to him about that. Also didn't get a chance to talk to him about being a four-time All-Star in 93, 96, 98, and 201. So, you know, but, yeah, it was great having him on the show.
That's right. That's right. 2001, he was in Seattle, and I was working that All-Star festivities. Good times, definitely. Well, Sean Boyd, show 12 appears to be in the books. Big-time guest Rod Simons, host of Game On in Minneapolis, and great charity host of golf tournaments, Golf for the Gift. You can find Rod at GameOnTVMN.com. His show is on demand. And, of course, we just finished talking to big-time guest number two, former Major League Baseball slugger Greg Vaughn.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things that I took away from today's show is, you know, the passion that both of these young men have as far as, you know, continuing, you know, continued success, not just for themselves, but actually teaching the younger generation on how to be better. You know, you can tell that passion. You can hear it in their voice from time to time that, you know, they're just crying out and saying, hey, man, you know, I have a lot to give, and it's not about me. It's about helping everybody else. And those are the things that you enjoy.
And also taking away the fact that there is a lot of positive in this world that goes unnoticed, and it's not tabloid material, and it's not the eye-catching, you know, there's a wreck on the freeway and I can't help but look. It's, you know, people doing good things for good people that needs to be out there and be noticed. And hopefully here on the Double with the Double S Express, we're trying to bring some of that to you.
Yeah, you know, and of course you could tell that, you know, that's something that Greg really was adamant about. You know, I'd asked a couple of questions as far as what was going on in today's baseball, and you could tell it's something that, you know, that really hurts, because, you know, a lot of these players, just as I had mentioned earlier, are doing great things, and it just so happened that in the conversation, just wanting to, you know, reiterate some of the things that are going on today, but then, you know, bringing it back to what is it that we're doing to make things better. And that's where Greg, you know, really shined and said, hey, man, you know, these are some of the things that I'm trying to help today's youth.
Well, Sean, let's go ahead and go out to a listener on the line. Let's go out to Paul. Paul, are you there?
Hey, fellas, how you doing? I've been listening to the show here the last half hour, and I got to tell you, amazing stuff you got going on.
Thanks so much for listening and calling in, Paul.
Hey, listen, you guys, I've been listening to you guys for the last month or so. Haven't called in, but what you guys are doing, I love it. And I loved that thing with Mr. Vaughn. Great stuff.
Hey, well, of course, Paul, you know, as we all know, you are definitely a fan of baseball, and I'm sure that, you know, taking the time out to listen to the show, which we appreciate, but I know that you're at one of the favorite recreational parks sometime during the week, increasing and sharpening your batting skills as well.
Yes, I am. Absolutely. I just finished up my softball season, by the way. I did want to ask one question to you guys.
Sure.
Listening to Mr. Vaughn, you did speak about Marge Schott. And I was really curious about, listen, this was a top baseball player. How is it that, you know, he comes to Cincinnati for 1 year and, you know, has to, you know, basically shave his facial hair?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm really curious about who was Marge Schott in all this.
Yeah,
was she a rebel?
Yeah, well, definitely. That's one word to put for Marge Schott. I mean, she's definitely a historian as far as ownership in baseball, or actually ownership, period, in professional sports. But that was one of the things that she frowned upon, was having facial hair in the clubhouse. For whatever reason, I have no idea. And I wish that we had the chance to talk and ask Greg about that, because I'm sure that would have opened up a hole.
I was trying to call to get him on the line to ask him that question.
Yeah.
You know, what was it like for him to be in this ownership group? So.
Yeah, I mean, and with that being said, I mean, I think he fell in line, because, you know, what he did that year, he still hit, I believe, 45 homers that year. And so.
Yes, he did. I've got his stuff online right now. I'm looking at it.
Oh, okay. Okay, good, good.
Yeah.
So, I knew that it was something like that after the 50 home run season that he went on and hit another 40 plus.
He had 45 home runs.
Yeah, okay. All right.
He
good
was
deal.
With more shots.
Well, guys,
I got to tell you, I just think it's I loved that player when he played, for sure. But just to, you know, have an owner that I'm not quite, you know, fully understanding, it's a real travesty, because I think Greg could have done a lot more in his career.
So. Definitely.
Well, Marge Schott had that no facial hair rule in place since 1967, and it took backlash from not only Greg Vaughn, but more often than not, the fans. And the fans' outpouring got her to eventually lift that rule. And it just sounds like she was running almost a dictatorship with that baseball team in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, I just and she kind of got the whole team just she got that whole team through her husband. So.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, well, listen, guys. I listen to you guys. I love it. Love your show. And thank you for being on the air, for sure.
Hey, thanks, Paul. Appreciate you calling in, man.
You guys are good guys. Believe me, I keep in touch with you.
All right.
All right, you take care, fellas.
All right, take care,
bye-bye.
Paul.
Thanks for the call, Paul. A nice phone call with a listener and an apparent fan, Sean Boyd.
Man, you know, man, Paul, God bless him, man. I mean, he is just, he's definitely been around and been there for us, you know, for a while, and especially, you know, when we took the steps towards, you know, getting this show. And so, you know, definite appreciation to Paul and all of our listeners, all of our fans out there that support the Double S Express.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd in Sacramento, California. I am Sean Wally in Tri-Cities, Washington. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express as we wrap up show number 12, moving forward to show 13 next week, Sean Boyd.
Yes, and I want to send a special shout-out to a very special lady in my life. And, of course, I want to say happy birthday to my mother-in-law, Anna Andrews, just a wonderful person. We talk about people that are open and give their hearts. Happy birthday, Mom. If you're listening, you know, thanks for standing in the gap and being there, you know, for me and our family. And so I hope you're having a wonderful day.
Absolutely. Best wishes to her and everybody else with a birthday this week, including Raider fan Amy on Wednesday.
Yeah, you know, we have to send those shouts out to the Raider Nation. And for all the Raider Nation faithful who are listening, you know, definitely send that shout out to Amy, her birthday this Wednesday.
All right, Sean, that's going to do it for show number 12. We will move forward planning and bringing you show number 13 next week, the first show as we turn the calendar into August.
Yeah, and again, you know, we're going to give you some more reports on what's going on in Major League Baseball with the second half of the season upon us. And, of course, the NFL and training camp, you know, there should be some more exciting news. There should be some juxtapositions going on as far as maybe players being picked up after being released. So it should be another exciting time next week.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd. I'm Sean Wally. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll talk to you next week here on BBS Radio.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.